Hi, my name is Moshe Kindler, and I'm the publisher of The Jewish Link.
Hi, this is Elizabeth Kratz. I'm editor of The Jewish Link.
And you're on The Jewish Link Pitch Meeting Podcast.
Okay, Elizabeth, welcome here on a Tuesday afternoon. We are still in our deadline cycle, but we have some very, very special guests here with us. These are the president and treasurer of the BC Bergen County Jack or Jewish Action, or actually, I just totally messed it up. Go for it, Elizabeth. So,
the Bergen County Jewish Action Committee, BC Jack, I think we're calling it.
Yep.
Emma Horowitz and Hana Shields, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. And I just want to, we've written a little bit about you guys over the last few months. We'll probably be writing about you more. I just want to tell you something as a longtime member of the TNEC community. I've had a different, interesting role, and I was so happy when you guys started because I was invited to a lot of these meetings over the years with the leadership in the town, and we'd always talk about, and by the way, the Jewish Link was intimately involved with making sure that, you know, that we supported candidates and we wrote articles, and we would always leave these meetings thinking, you know, oh, if only the Jewish community finally got its act together, that if only we were organized in a more grassroots way, and they basically we'd walk out, I would walk out a lot of these meetings and I'm like, I'm the publisher of the Jewish Link and I can't do it myself, and I wasn't going to do it myself, and I was so happy to hear that finally there was a group. And I'm sure you're going to tell us the origin story, because I'm sure it probably came out of enough situations like this. So, but I'm just telling you, I'm happy that you're on the scene as a Bergen County and TNEC resident, for sure.
Thank you so much. So I'm happy to take the origin story question. I mean, I think many of us were paying attention all of a sudden to things going on at the town council and the Board of Education after October 7th. I think a lot changed for our community after October 7th.
Before October 7th, was it not?
No. And it really came about in a very sort of authentic way. Hana and I didn't even know each other. We met through Rachel Sorolnik, who's our vice president and secretary. And we organized because we went together to the Board of Education meeting on October 18th. There were a group of five women, five amazing, tough women, who went to go speak against the letter that Dr. Spencer had published in the wake of the atrocities of October 7th, which we felt was so trivializing and demeaning of what had happened, calling it just another event in the cycle of violence and something bad that happened in a store, essentially. So we were very upset by that letter, and we went to go speak out against it together. And the reception that we received at that meeting, I think, was such a wake-up call for us.
Yeah. I don't think that we really had a picture of how members of our community viewed that event and our community. It was very scary and very disheartening. You know, we are a peaceful people, and we are, you know, very involved in all kinds of charitable causes and other causes to, you know, do kind things for our community, for the greater Tina community. And it just seemed that there was a lot of hatred and a lot of negative feeling towards our community that was really misplaced. Mm-hmm. And we felt that it was time to do something about that.
Even though there'd been bad scenes at prior, you know, Board of Ed meetings. It was a combination of October 7th as well.
Absolutely. I think that woke a lot of people up nationwide, but specifically here in TNEC, to how people really feel about Jews in general, but specific to TNEC, how people feel about the Orthodox community and even Jews in general. We definitely have members and allies across the observant spectrum, and we are so grateful to work with rabbis as well as congregants from shuls that are and are not Orthodox. We think that this is a problem that's affecting Jews nationwide, and we have to start here. You know, they say charity begins at home, so we're working on TNEC right now, and we think that this is a model that can be copied across the country because so many communities are facing what we're facing.
Absolutely, and I'll just say that, you know, yes, we're members of the Orthodox community, but I think one of the greatest benefits of this was that we reached out to the other rabbis in the community who aren't Orthodox rabbis, mm-hmm. and they were so happy we reached out to them, and we were so happy to reach out to them as well, and we started to develop relationships with people who we hadn't had relationships with before, and they're really incredible leaders, and we hope to continue those relationships.
Absolutely. We've been privileged to attend events. We went to the Martin Luther King Day event at Temple Emmett, which was a really wonderful event. honoring Dr. King's memory. And that was an event attended across the spectrum, religious, racial, political, everything. People just came together. And it would be really nice to replicate things like that more often. Because I think at the end of the day, although right now we're in a difficult place in Teaneck, we really do have so much in common. And I think most people here really do want to live together peacefully.
I mean, one would assume, you know, most people just want to live their lives, take care of their children, have good relationships with their neighbors, their friends. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we welcome that. We also want that. And, you know, we just want peace in our community and, you know, the ability for everyone to live their life without threats and without violence and without, you know, fear.
Mm-hmm. Right, so let's just back up a second, if you don't mind, because, of course, as a researcher and like a reporter, I'm always trying to get sort of to the back to the basics and how we got to where we are now. Mm-hmm. And the way I understand it was after October 7th and when the war with Hamas began, there was this global paroxysm of hate that just... It swept the world, but it also swept the Teaneck Town Council, the Teaneck Board of Education, and we basically saw in real time that people don't like Jews, and they think of reasons why they don't like Jews, and their old anti-Semitic tropes, their blood libels, they're about money grubbing, they're about people trying to steal other people's stuff. These are not based in truth. They're based in lies and in old historic negative things. And what we talked about, I think, initially was that as community advocates, as grassroots advocates, one of the things that you hope to do was to reach communities who are not friendly to Jews right now, who are literally embroiled in this enemy of the Jews situation. So can we discuss that, or are you also more focused right now on organizing the Jewish community?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of our goals is to bring the entire greater community together. And so one initiative that we have, and we have several running at the same time.
You know, I think that also sometimes the image of something and the appearance of what is greater than what is. And I think that the people who come out to speak at a lot of these meetings who share a voice of hatred are not really representative of the greater community. I don't think most of our neighbors hate us. I think that these people who come out are trying to create the image because they are agitators and because they have their own self-interest in us thinking that and other people thinking that. When you make something okay, then other people join that, right? And when you make something the thing to do. So I think that that has been, you know, a big propaganda item that we've seen happen, you know, in many areas. A lot of the people who come out to speak negatively about our community at these meetings don't even live in our area, don't know any of us, don't know our politics, don't know our policies, don't know that, you know, for example, the Jewish kosher pantry during COVID and beyond was delivering daily and weekly van loads of things to the non-kosher pantry, because if we got donations that we couldn't use, and or if we just got donations and we said, let's share it with others, if we can, right? That's just one tiny little example that just came into my head. And people don't know this. There's a Never Alone like shelter. I don't know exactly if it's a shelter but a woman who collects things for women who've experienced domestic abuse. And 90% of her donations come from the Orthodox community. And that's a secret, because we're not people, you know, that's not our way, and that's not our culture to say, ooh, look what I did. I did this. I did this. Our culture is to do things quietly and do the right thing.
Right.
Our culture is to be very generous and really to do whatever we can to help another. You know, yesterday I was in Target and an old man was carrying two bags. I said, I'll help you to your car. He said, I don't have a car. So I drove him to his house in Hackensack. That's an example of what the Jewish community does. I never met the man. He looked, you know, like he was safe. He had a cane, so I wasn't so worried. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, I'm not letting this man walk with two heavy packages, you know, 15 blocks to his house. I know so many people in my community who would do the same.
And I just want to say that's also Chana's character, really. And I know she has a hand in almost every chesed initiative in this community, but she's not alone in that. There's one or two more we could sign you up for, but until we identify those, I would just say Chana's incredible, but she's not the only one. You know, many of us do things quietly for people and never really make a scene about it because doing the right thing is just who we are. That's what we try to do. And so now it's time maybe that we make other people aware of our values and reach out a little bit more than we have in the past.
Right. One of the things we've been talking about in the office is in terms talking about the context of doing the right thing and having the best of intentions and having our community be viewed in a positive light because we view it in a positive light. We've noticed that people in our community who might not have the best of intentions toward the Jews in our community are reading the Jewish Link newspaper in order to find flaws, in order to find negativity. And that is counter to my personality. Like, there are things that I see in the paper that, and I'm like, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Look at all these amazing initiatives. And I see, you know, in the last 6 months, certainly an uptick in criticism of events that we've been having. And I guess I want to know from your perspective, what have you seen and what kinds of advocacy efforts can we expect?
One thing that I noticed recently is that there was an event put on last week, the Speed Friending event, mm-hmm. sponsored by a couple members of council, as well as someone from the ABCR, the Advisory Board of Community Relations.
Yeah, Cheryl Hall, right?
Yeah, Cheryl Hall, exactly. Cheryl's amazing.
She's terrific.
The national treasurer. So this event was not widely attended, and I read a comment on Facebook from somebody who said that this was obviously just a political ploy during an election year to try, like a desperate thing to try to get people to see these council members in a better light. And it was disappointing to see somebody take such a cynical angle on what I heard was a really nice event. I unfortunately couldn't make it because I had a school commitment, but I think, you know, the people who went really enjoyed that event and got to know people. And the council members who attended were not speaking about politics. It was just a way to get to know people. And I think actually the library did this initiative first, and it was so successful that they just decided to broaden the scope. But anything that we do for some people will be interpreted cynically. But I think at the end of the day, we're not trying to win over the hearts and minds of the people who are determined to hate us. That's really, I hope, we hope, a small percentage of the town. There's a lot of gray area. There are people who maybe don't know us so well and are interested in getting to know more. And those are the people who we're really hoping to reach and get to know a little bit better.
I'll tell you, so one of the things that's so challenging is just to get the community energized, galvanized. I mean, I'm just saying, to me, that's really three quarters of your battle almost. I mean, October 7th has kind of given us a boost where the community's a little scared, we're concerned, but I'm just saying, even still, our inertia, not doing anything, I'm just telling you, the answer is yes, we do like to do things quietly, Chana, as you said, but you're asking sometimes community members to do things that are a little bit out of their comfort zone. People, you know, it's not simple or easy. But I'm just saying, I'm just wanted to hear the challenges you've had with that, meaning that's because many people living here in Teaneck, or we actually now have a new generation of people who grew up in Teaneck, Bergenfield, are actually coming to live here. So they kind of like, you know, it's seen as an established community. And by the way, we're not just Teaneck. We're talking, you guys are well beyond. This is your Bergen. So I'd be interested in hearing what you're doing also outside of Teaneck as well. And again, focusing on how to get the community galvanized, energized. So
yeah, P.S. I live in Bergenfield.
Mm-hmm.
So we're happy to talk to you.
Okay.
I think one, you know, we're right near Purim right now. And one conversation that I've been having with people is that they need to find their Queen Esther moment. You know, who knows if we were born for this moment? This feels to us like a really pivotal time in Jewish history, and it's all hands on deck. It has to be. We need to find a way to make America comfortable for Jews again, and we're working really, really hard to do that. And I know that there are people who've never been involved civically who are thinking about getting involved because they appreciate the significance of this moment. It really is critical that everyone get involved in a capacity that's comfortable for them, and even maybe slightly uncomfortable, but that's where growth happens. I'm a high school teacher, so I can say that. You know, we really see growth in those moments of struggle and challenge and overcoming that sort of challenge, like whether you're afraid of speaking at a council meeting or writing an op-ed or whatever that, you know, whatever that moment is, that's something that people can do. And are, I think, you know, lately it's become clear that what happens at council meetings actually can affect our community. It's not just a meeting that happens in a vacuum. It has consequences. So that's one example. I'm sure Hannah has others.
I mean, I think that the, you know, the lesson for our community is that one, we really need everyone. One can't just sit back and say somebody else is going to take care of this. I don't get involved in these things because this is our community. This is our town. And, you know, we care about it. We care about our quality of life here. And we can't allow for a few people who have a very loud voice to take over and make it uncomfortable for us to live in. I was reading recently about, you know, agitators and how they work. And it's very interesting. In my 10-minute Google search, or not even 10 minutes, I found two companies that actually will, they advertise on a beautiful website that they will plan a riot for you, and they will plan people, they will plan propaganda for you, for people to, you know, go after your cause. So it appears that more people believe in your cause. I don't doubt that that has happened in many situations, you know, not necessarily in Teaneck, but it can be, and it can have happened, mm-hmm. you know, I know it's happened all over the place, or their website wouldn't be so nice. So, you know, we know that certain movements and things buy into this, and then once, like, a whole group of people are following something, it's easier to get more people to follow it, and we know that that's the psyche. You know, I have several years in marketing and PR experience, so I do know that that's how, you know, a brand message gets along, right? So my message to our community is that, you know, we have to join together and combat those voices, because the voices that are very loud are still few. They're loud and they're hateful, and that's scary, and that's very uncomfortable, but they're few.
It's a successful riot has a deleterious effect on an event. It has a strong effect on the cost. And I have an example of that.
We just went through it.
So the Jewish Link hosted a wine and food event. Kosher food, kosher wine. The details of the event.
We are happy to promote that for you.
The details of the event itself were taken out of context. There was one winery that was targeted, one among close to 100 wineries that were represented, and the event itself was marred by people banging on cars, swiping Free Palestine flags across people's windshields, and they were wet because it was raining, and essentially freezing people unable to move because a Free Palestine flag was, like, on top of someone's windshield. The police could not, was not prepared. They didn't have the numbers. I don't know. But it was very uncomfortable for a lot of people who came into this event. And there was over 100 people who are there specifically to protest an event that they didn't even know what it was. They didn't care either.
So I'm really sorry that that happened, because, you know, it just shows the impact that, you know, bad actors can have when they don't really, and that's really your point, they don't really know what's going on. They have no idea what's going on in Israel and Gaza. They really don't know the history, the story, or anything like that, because if they bothered to look and listen, they would have a very different opinion. So when, you know, you ask these protesters, why are you here? You know, what
they said, Intifada revolution.
Right.
That's what they said. And you are baby killers. That is what they said.
Intifada revolution is a call for violence.
Yes.
So, you know, we already know where they stand when they say the words Intifada. You know, the police here in Teaneck, we are very blessed that they are supportive, and they do have control over these things. Unfortunately, these agitators, who many of them are from outside our township, are costing mm-hmm. a fortune to our township in overtime, in organizing. They're taking up the resources of our township. If I was, any resident of this township, even if I, you know, if I wasn't Jewish in this township, right? I would be so angry at these protesters that keep demanding all of the police's time, all of the township resources, because they're coming and there's a potential for violence because they are breaking the law in a lot of ways. They're hanging outside the windows of cars. They're violating traffic laws. They're assembling in, you know, and calling for violence. And the police have to be out there. So we're blessed in the fact that our township does take care of that and protects all of its citizens. But, you know, it comes at a big cost for other projects and things that will go on in the town. Because of these agitators, our township might not be able to do those things.
And I think a lot of people also don't understand how challenging it is for the police to come to a good policy about this, because people are very frustrated by what they're seeing. No one likes to have these people driving through town honking and cursing at people on the street and who are just minding their own business on a Sunday on Queen Anne Road, you know, going out to lunch or whatever with their families. Nobody wants to see this and hear this. It's obnoxious. It's intended to intimidate us and to make us feel unsafe and disrupted in our environment. And they're targeting Teaneck for a reason, and we all know that. And the police have made the decision that they want to just help get them out of town as quickly as possible. So they ride with them and they drive them through, but they don't stop and give tickets, because I think a lot of these people are looking for an escalation. They're looking for that photo opportunity where they're getting arrested or they're getting a ticket so they can claim victimhood status. Look how our First Amendment rights have been violated. I've heard that they come with an attorney from time to time. You know, they're really looking to disrupt us. And I always say the best revenge is living well. You know, you have to just find a way to not let it affect you. Now, at an event, it's a different story, because that's really very disruptive what they did to you.
We were inside. We heard that, you know, we were setting up hundreds of bottles of wine, food. All of these vendors were present already. Anyone who was involved with the event was inside planning and prepping. And then the only people who saw the negativity were our guests, who we had invited.
And I'll be straight. We probably lost about 30 guests.
Yeah,
from
more.
People who were told not to come from the town Passaic.
Right.
So because they
said they were told to avoid the area. And people really didn't want to have their evening marred by this kind of experience.
So that's really, you know, they're causing monetary harm to you. They're interfering with your event. They're assaulting cars, right? They're assaulting people who are going, so we can see what their, you know, reaction and their feeling is about the law, that they're not subject to the law and they don't have a regard for the law,
right.
You know, and our law enforcement is trying their best to do what they can without escalating the situation. I think that's important to note, you know, and I think they've been doing a terrific job.
Two other points about people potentially planning events, and this is just, you know, just as an example of things that might be needed to think about. First of all, in the 24 hours before our event started, I think we quadrupled our security fees and hired a lot of off-duty police officers. And to tell you the truth, no matter how much prep we did, the fact that the town had not experienced this kind of thing before, they were playing catch up the entire night. Like, because they didn't know what to expect. They didn't believe that there could be over 100 protesters. They didn't believe that this could happen. So every time a car got surrounded, and this happened to almost every car, the police had a 2 or 3 minute delay before they could get to that car and free that car to walk through.
That must have been scary.
It's really like, it's very tough. The other thing was in terms of the validity or non-validity of a protest itself, saying Intifada Revolution for a kosher food and wine event, I do not, and I want to communicate that the Jews of the world would never protest a halal event. The very idea of a community event celebrating a certain kind of food or beverage, wherever it is made in the world, why is that worthy of a protest? Why is that worthy of intifada or jihad? Like, what are we talking about here? Who are these people? Where did they come from?
So I don't think we're really talking about Israel, and I don't think we're really talking about you know, the Palestinians or Gaza or anything like that. We're talking about anti-Semitism.
Right.
There's no difference. It's used as a false flag, just like a lot of the lies and the fabrications that are told about the various things that, you know, are being protested are used as fabrications. It's an excuse for bad behavior. And it's an excuse to stand up and say, you know, and be violent. But at the end of the day, we see what things are being said. We see what is being protested. Our houses of worship are being protested. Like, that's an entirely horrible escalation. We don't troll the Muslim papers looking for events to target. Our attitude in our community is laissez-faire. You know, let them live their lives. And if somebody believes something different than I do, then they are free to believe that, and that's their right. And we're not organizing protests to harass them. But the same courtesy is not afforded to us. There was a speaker at a local mosque who was a October 7th denier. I'm sure there's other things that person denies too.
Right.
We knew that this was happening, but again, it's within their rights to host a speaker. And you know, you see this all over the place at colleges and universities and now in our own backyard, where tolerance is not afforded to our community. So the only way, like, we're allowed to be tolerated is if we do exactly what they say and we only do what they allow us to do. That doesn't really sound like me to be a democratic way. That's not the way our country was built. People have differences of opinion. Differences of opinion are what made this country the beautiful and amazing country it is.
How can we also work online to combat the negativity?
It's tough because I know I have attended training on this through school, through MyNote where I work. We had Sarah Gordon from Unpacked come and speak to the students about social media and how to respond on social media. And one of the points that she made is that some of the people who are saying the most hateful things are not the people that you're trying to reach, but there are people reading the comments. And sometimes you might be able to change a mind or at least provide facts, because there's such an educational vacuum in social media right now where you might be able to fill something in where somebody can go and do their own research and learn something. So I think knowing when to get involved in a discussion online is a skill. It's not something that's innate for most of us. And there are events about this and there are resources about it. And it's something that we really have to learn and we have to focus on. And it's not something that, you know, I woke up and decided I wanted to do. And I do try to stay out of things on social media because I do find that typically it's not worth it to engage. But I have seen productive discussions from time to time. And you never know where you can sort of build a bridge. So it's really tough knowing when and where to get involved.
So she was saying to selectively, strategically comment on things like that. Interesting.
Yeah, and I think she was saying also you have to know yourself, right? If you have a hot temper and you're going to say something that you're going to regret, maybe you're not the person to be doing this type of work. But if you're knowledgeable and reasoned and able to communicate clearly and you don't take things personally, which is really tough. I've seen some of the comments on social media on just regular posts. They can be really, really hateful. So if you're going to lose sleep over that, it's probably not for you. That's not your area. But if that's something where you can calmly and rationally dispute things, then maybe it's worth it in certain cases. But another thing that we've sort of realized is that for a lot of people, this isn't really about facts, right? It's not about what's actually happening in Israel or anywhere else. This is about identity. And if it's a large part of your identity to feel that Palestine should be free, all the facts in the world aren't going to change your mind. It has nothing to do with what's really going on the ground in Israel. It's either anti-Semitism potentially, or it's a social justice identity. Whatever it is, it's very hard to overcome these identity issues, and we do see a lot of that on social media as well.
Mm-hmm. Let's switch subjects a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay, this is pretty somber. other roles for BC Jack, okay? Other roles. Now, it wasn't only when you started this, it wasn't only to combat anti-Semitism, or what, maybe it was. You were a single mission. I think it was also in terms of organizing the Jewish community. I think the political sphere was also a big part. I mean, civics and political. I mean, I think you guys did. I mean, I believe you're playing a role certainly on trying to be a role on the election, on the political side. Tell us about that side as well. So.
Well, I don't think that, you know, we're talking more about elections. I think we're talking about, you know, the Jewish community being more civically engaged, which is very important. I think, you know, a lot of us just kind of stay away. And I think most people stay away from politics, right? It's a natural inclination to stay away from politics and not to be involved. And while we, you know, attend town events and things like that, we just, you know, very few people attend a council meeting and very few people attend a advisory board and things like that. But I think that, you know, we've encouraged people to actually, you know, go and hear what is being said at the Board of Education and at the township meeting. You know, we were very happy to leave the Board of Education to their job. But there are a lot of, you know, Jewish students in the public schools that were really very affected by recent upticks in anti-Semitism and have experienced anti-Semitic incidents against them. And in many instances, their words and their complaints were not being heard. So we felt that we needed to amplify their voices because they're a small minority in the school and a minority that's not being addressed very well. So part of our, you know, impetus was to have people stand up for those who can't stand up for themselves always, right? Because it's very hard to stand up when you're very small in number.
Yeah. I mean, I think to Hannah's point, it's really important that our community is engaged politically, and that takes a lot of different forms. So, you know, we're excited to help people get registered to vote. It's shocking how many people aren't. And I think at the end of the day, we want our community to pay attention to what's happening around them and to feel that they have a voice. Like, I'm on the Patriotic Observance Advisory Board, and it's really rewarding. The last meeting I went to, I watched a really interesting slideshow about someone's service in Vietnam, and we talked about the 4th of July parade, and we're really excited to make it even more exciting this year. So stay tuned for more information about that. Hopefully we'll be able to engage the link in that. I think it would be great if we could expand its scope. But that's something that's like a small thing on paper, right? But these types of events really give people a sense of belonging and ownership in the town. And we want to include our community in things like that where they historically haven't been included. So advisory boards are a really great example of that. And, you know, we were excited to become involved. And I actually got involved back in July in the Patriotic Observance Board.
Before October 7th.
Yeah.
Okay. My point was, I think this has been germinating for a while, even before October 7th.
So. Yeah. I mean, I've been going to council meetings for about a year and a half and paying attention to what's been happening. And I wasn't before that, but something happened that made me realize I should be. And I think that it's important to pay attention to what's going on in local governance. You know, we all need to do that. And for a long time, our community has had a sense that, okay, you know, we don't really need to pay attention to these things because everything's fine. Like, thank God we have a great quality of life here. We have wonderful communal institutions and everybody's busy, you know, and we really feel that. We have busy families and lives and other obligations, jobs, you name it. And many of us are really very much overextended. But at the same time, that doesn't absolve our community from getting involved in things locally that aren't just Jewish in nature, but are more civic. And I think, you know, people are starting to hear that message a little bit, which is great.
And keep in mind then that specifically in the town of Teaneck, we're not a small number. You know, we represent a very significant fraction. I always like to tell people, you know, that we deliver to about almost 4,000 addresses in the town of Teaneck. The town of Teaneck alone has only about 10,000 residential addresses. So I'm telling you is, the Jewish link reading audience is on an address basis is 40% of the town. I'm not sure if you're aware of that.
Right, so. That's huge. Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, we have found that we have to be more careful these days, and we have to edit ourselves a little bit and be aware of that anti-Semitic element that has reared its ugly head in multiple ways, but also it's not going to go away. So the question is how to engage that faction and work toward coexistence. Like we're not going to cancel our events. We're not going to leave. We need to learn how to coexist. And I think all of us really want that. So the question is whether our not yet friends or friends to be feel that way as well.
Right. And I think in large part, it's on us to put ourselves out there and meet them a little bit more. Like another example I can think of on an advisory board level was the Youth Advisory Board had a career night recently that I attended with two of my children. I had never met any of the panelists before, and they were all so interesting and so friendly. And I went over to them afterwards and spoke to as many as I could because I was so impressed by the variety of different things that they do. And they were mostly not people from the Jewish community. They were mostly representing a broader cross-section of town. But it was really interesting, and it was a fun event. And it's not something that people in our community, meaning the Jewish community, would attend typically. But we are trying to encourage people to go to more of these events if they can, because there really is something to be gained from building bridges and getting to know people. And an event like that, which is completely apolitical, I mean, that is just a get to know you, hear about what you do. I met a lady who's an FBI agent. It was a really, really cool event. You know, stuff like that was great. Someone who works at the New York Museum of Art gave me a guest pass because I told her that I went to an event there once and I thought it was such an impressive place and how my mom actually loves the New York Museum of Art. Go now, but she does. She gave me two guest passes. It was so sweet. And it was a really fun and interesting event. Even my daughter, who's 9, really enjoyed it. But that's just not something that we would have gone to in the past. And I'm so glad that I've started going to those events. And I hope that other people will follow suit. It's a great way to get to know people.
And you're inviting other people to go, hopefully.
Yeah, we have a WhatsApp group, and we push out events that we think people will enjoy and that, you know, our community would benefit from attending. And slowly, slowly, people are starting to come. So it's
and
great.
I think, you know, part of it is that a lot of people didn't know these events were going on. It's not that they didn't want to attend. They just weren't aware of a lot of these things.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was a youth advisory board. I didn't know that they had these type of events. But now I'm aware of it. So if I wasn't aware of it, I'm sure tons of people were aware of it. It wasn't made necessarily aware to us. And I think that we're more on top of those things at this point. And you know, we're letting people know about them, and hopefully, you know, moving forward, they'll be more comfortable attending those type of things and participating in those type of things. You know, there are plenty of people who have interesting careers and have a lot to offer, as well.
Absolutely.
So, and a lot to contribute.
If I can shout out a friend of ours from New Rochelle, this actually reminds me of, our season one podcast with Justin Brash. It was our first ever podcast.
It was a wonderful, but he wasn't
City Council,
not in Rochelle, White Plains.
White Plains. But he basically was going up against people who said, "I don't like Jews." And he's like, "What don't you like?
Come talk to me.
Come talk to me.
Right.
And then he showed up at a dance party event, and he was talking about, like, it was like the dedication of a youth center, and he's out there, his wife is out there, like, leading a Congo line all of a sudden. And, you know, after years working on this and making friends, real friends, not fake, just showing up places, he has started to really make inroads in a community that really hasn't had a lot of interaction between communities. And there is a very strong role for that and a very big need for it, I think, in Tina. Sure.
So I think sometimes there's also like a misconception on behalf of, you know, other people who are outside our community that we don't want to engage with them, or we isolate ourselves. And the facts are, some of that is because they don't understand that we need to live within walking distance of a synagogue. So we tend to buy a house near a synagogue. And then because we tend to buy a house near a synagogue, those areas tend to be more, intense, you know, more populated with Jews because they're also going to the synagogue. It's just the practicalities. Right. But we all work and, coexist with a lot of non-Jews and have friendships and deep relationships with many non-Jews. The fact that we're at work all day, and we, you know, the weekend is Shabbat, and a lot of us can't do, you know, social things and stuff like that on Shabbat. So there's very little time for these type of things. But I think that, you know, the message, you know, is that we do want to be involved in these type of things, and we're open to relationships with others. It's just sometimes, you know, we get wrapped up in our day-to-day, and everyone is overspent and overworked, and, you know, just like any other community is overworked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it reminds me a little bit also of the we talk about the toelas of articles, whether there's a benefit to publishing a particular article. And the fact is, there is a benefit to communal involvement outside the Jewish community because of what we see, or the benefits that we can help others than the benefits of, I don't know, positive relations, positive communal advocacy for all of us can be improved. Yeah. So,
you know, what I see in the Haredi community is, the Haredi community, which is a little different from our community here, is they have a class of people called Askanim, okay, who generally speak, it's their role is to be the interlocutor, so to speak, with the outside community. I also often felt that, Tina, we did not have enough of them, to be honest. I'll be straight with you, and I actually look at you, as, look at the BC Jack, or as kind of a, I don't mean you may or not like
all,
that word.
Or we all should be. We all should be.
My point is, I understand what you're trying to say, but just the reality is that we're never going to get the majority of our community to be fully civically, communally involved. It's just not the case. It's not going to happen. It's not the reality. But I just felt like we did not have enough people who care, a cadre, so to speak, which I think is what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
And who really just, on every level, advisory committees, just that we're involved, that we're showing our face, so and so. And by these are, I'm coming at it from like a little more Haredi perspective, and I'm not saying that the committees are doing it all right, but I see it's critical for us going forward.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, our community deserves a seat at the table, and that's every table in town, basically. You know, I've never been more proud to be Jewish than I am now. I see such tremendous things coming out of our community, such achdut, such chesed. You know, there's so many good things
happening.
You don't
even tell us, by the way. We chronicle it weekly. You know that, right?
Yeah. So. I read it every week. So, you know, I'm very proud to be Jewish, and I think that we really have nothing to be ashamed of. We are a wonderful community, and we deserve to be respected in the town and to live our lives. And yes, we need to get to know our neighbors a little bit better, and that's definitely true. But we're people who believe in a strong moral code. We're good neighbors, and I think, you know, we're doing our best to shine some of that light on the town in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah,
really appreciate your time.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Thank you for having. Yeah, thank you. First of all, it's good seeing you. I've been reading about you, and I'm on the WhatsApp group, but it's good to see you guys both in person. Okay, and looking forward to the continued growth of BC Jack in the future. Hopefully we'll be on again in a year from now, and this room won't fit you because there'll be too many people. I'll have to do like a conference room or something.
I mean,
like that.
Sounds great. Sounds great.
Thanks for being with us on the Jewish Link Pitch Meeting podcast. If you would like to participate or be in touch with us in any way, please email us at editor@jewishlink.news. And follow us and find our podcast wherever you find podcasts.